You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. You got your esteemed hosts with you guys today, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome Georgie. Back.
Welcome, Marky.
Good to have you here. Good to have you here. In today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing something that was actually an audience-related or audience-requested topic, and that topic is some tips and tricks on growing a small trading account. And so we're going to get this thing started off shortly with a couple of, you know, key discussion points and some great tips for you guys. I'm not going to say it's a list or not, but we got a couple of great tips coming your way. Now, before we do that, we wanted to do something different, all right? And we want to recognize you guys for recognizing us. All right? And so, all right, it's pretty awesome. And what I'm getting at here is reviews, all right? We really, really love to see the reviews because unless you guys are posting about it, we don't really know whether you guys are finding value from these episodes or not. And so the reviews that you guys send in to iTunes really, really help us forge the path forward for what this podcast is going to look like. So you might be listening here. If you're a recurring listener, you might be seeing a different style of format. And that came from some reviews. So what we want to do today going forward in these segments is to recognize you guys. So I'm going to read through one of the reviews we got recently, and hopefully that'll encourage you guys to submit some more through. It's really going to help us out, really get the word out to other people. And it's going to help us identify, you know, the topics that you guys really, really want to hear about. So Dirk, all right, Dirk 121, and I'm not going to say the last number. Dirk mentions life-changing, all right, gives us a 5-star review. Dirk, we appreciate the ratings and the review. And here's the review. I found Trade Pro Academy about a month ago now. I'm learning so much, not only about trading, but about myself and my mindset. George and Mark are professional, passionate, and empathetic, true linchpins of the industry. This podcast has quickly become my favorite.
Yay. Thank you, Dirk. And thank you for listening. Thank you so much for the kind words and the review. And I hope you got a chance to listen to this episode and be recognized for your recognition. We appreciate you.
Yeah, exactly.
And before we begin the show today, I want to just share a special message with you. Just because you have a small account, it doesn't mean you have to think small. The best investment in life is one in yourself. The only way your account will grow is if your psychology grows first. Learn how to think like a big lot trader, even with a small account size, and how to master the psychology you need to succeed in this business. Our trading psychology course, based on neuro-linguistic programming principles, is included with both our options and futures courses. Check us out at www.tradeproacademy.com and get started for the last time in the right place. And now, back to the show.
Back to the show. Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, how to grow a small trading account. Before we kind of go into the tips and tricks, there's just one thing that I kind of want to touch on. And it's more so with regards to, capitalization for new traders. So generally what we see when people enter the industry, you've either got one of two camps. It's generally one of two camps. You've either got people that have a lot of money they're willing to start with. These are your ex-business owners, might have sold out. Whatever the reason, there's a large amount of cash. One of the camps is that they have a decent chunk of cash. They want to put that to work and start by doing so in the markets. And really the other camp is, the one that we see more often. And that is, the retail traders. Granted, people that coming in with decent amount of cash still consider retail traders. But the other camp here is basically people that don't really have that much capital to start off with. All right. And, these are the people that, have to work hard, scrape a couple of dollars together, and that's effectively what you get to start with. So you've got really two camps coming into the markets, whether it's the camp that has a lot of capital or the camp that doesn't have as much capital. What my message to you is that regardless of which camp you're starting with, all right, if you're coming from the the lower capital camp, you've got to start with what you've got. But also this message is to the people that do have a good chunk of capital to start with. The message here is you got to start small, regardless of what side of or what camp you're coming from, the capitalized or undercapitalized camp, you've got to start small. All right. And really the goal is not to really replace your income or try to make more than your income or whatever you're currently doing at the moment. The goal really to start is to build confidence in a strategy, build confidence in a set of rules that if you put into work in the live market environment, you find that there's an edge. All right. And what do I mean by edge? Basically, you're going to be making money over the long term. All right. That's what the edge is. And so regardless of which camp you start off in, the goal is to start small, work your way up to a point where you're seeing that there is an edge and that you are starting to make some money. You can follow a process consistently. And at that point, that's when you can scale. All right. So that's just kind of the main message I had for both sides of the camp, because when you start, you're effectively, everybody is starting from the same place.
And yeah, Mark, I love that you brought that up, because I think there's, you know, I think there's a camp where you start out with a lot of capital and then the one where we start out with less capital. But I think the worst camp to be in is to start out with a lot of capital and end up with less capital.
Yeah.
Nothing feels smaller than a small account that was once large. Right. And I think that the best way to scale a small account is to do it right the first time. If you started with a lot of capital and now it's less, it's actually exponentially harder to build that account up than if you just started with less capital to begin with, because now you have the recent memory or the fresh memory and experiences of turning, let's say, 50,000 into 1,000 or 70,000, whatever it is, right? Taking a big number to a small one, you know, no matter what you do, that number that you started with hangs over your head. It's like a dark cloud that, you know, everyone else is sunny, but you're walking around. When you look up, there's a dark cloud over your head. So I think, you know, it does. If you're in that boat where you took a lot of capital, turned into less, it, you know, there's still hope and promise. You could still come back. But I think it's better if you're brand new and you're starting with a small account. You know, it's easier to build a small account if it starts small versus now you need to make back losses. Just want to bring that up.
Exactly. And really, trading live, as odd as this may sound, it's not really about making money. That's the end result. But what it is about, like I mentioned, is executing a strategy with an edge, and then over the long term, you know, over weeks, over months, showing consistency with that edge, with that process. All right. And so really important here, and again, I stress the fact that you're not looking to do home runs. You're not looking to replace your income. You're not looking to do this right off the bat. You are just looking for consistency. All right. And so what does consistency sound like? Consistency sounds like, you know, with a 2 to 3K account going for like $25 a day, you know, mm-hmm. That's not sexy. You're not going to see a Facebook ad on your feed saying, hey, you want to make $25 a day? You're not going to go to that. What's going to attract you is, hey, you want to make $1,000 a day? But you got to realize that to get to $1,000 a day, you got to start somewhere. It's very similar to the concept of a snowball. All right. So imagine packing a snowball together. Might be a bit of a difficult image for you if you live in the southern parts of the world. But if you put a snowball together, you can basically pack it together with your hands. All right. You start it off at the top of the hill. As you roll that snowball down the hill, it accumulates snow. In this example, is compounding. All right. So it accumulates snow and it turns into a huge ball. All right. Or it can even turn into an avalanche from that tiny little snowball. And that's effectively what you're trying to do by starting small. All right. It's not trying to get who can make the most money the fastest. It's not, I can flip my account several times over in a couple of days. It's about consistency. And the reality is that if you can make $25 a day consistently, you know, it doesn't really take much to change that figure to 250 and then 2,500 and then, you know, 250K. It's all possible, right? The amount that you can make is really up to you and your own beliefs and what you believe you're worth, right? So very important to start small, aim for consistency, aim for those little winners. You know, you're not going to be writing home about $25 a day, but you're going to start seeing that if you can put those kinds of streaks together, that all it takes is adding another contract or moving from the micros up into the minis. And you're basically now living the life that you've been wanting to do, but you're doing it appropriately and you're doing it with risk adjusted returns, not risking the whole house to make a couple of bucks.
Yeah. And you know, you're not going to write home about being up $25, but you're not going to have a hard discussion with your spouse or significant other about being down $25,000, right? So it's like win small, lose small, and learn at the end of the day. Pay it cheap. Everyone decides how much tuition they're going to pay in this industry. Some people decide to make it expensive. Others make it cheap. And this isn't like your traditional school. You decide how much you pay. And I think that's why it's different. And in the first time we recorded this episode, because I think the first time we recorded an episode twice.
Yeah.
We didn't get the right audio. You know, the mic was low, but the problem's fixed. You know, the first time we recorded this, I mentioned the same thing. And I'm going to say it again. You know, what Mark said is $25 a day is no different than $250. That might be perplexing to you, but you just have to remember that, you know, when you went to school, you were trained to start a job or a career path. And in that career path, there were phases that were set, right? And in today's modern society, many people switch jobs and careers numerous times in their life. And so, you know, whatever you're doing in work right now, once you perfect it, you go to the next thing. You're looking for new challenges, new things to solve. Then you do another job, then you do good there. Your boss gives you an evaluation and you move on and you keep going to new roles, new departments. You're learning new things. In trading, the great thing is that you don't have to do that your whole life. Once you learn how to make $25, it's the same skill set that's going to take you through the rest of your life. You know, it's the same thing you'll be doing to make $250, $2,500, $25,000. Obviously, you're going to have to improve and change and stay up to date with markets and modify things. You'll get better as an operator, improve your strategy, et cetera. But then the day you'll be doing the same job for the rest of your life. And sometimes that bums people out. They're like, I don't want to know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. But the thing is, with trading, that's not the only thing you're going to be doing, but that's one thing hopefully you could do forever because it'll power the other things. It'll bring to life your other interests. You can't trade all day bell to bell. It's only a 2-hour-a-day job, 3 hours, 4 max, I would say. So understand that this is the beginning stage of your career, but also the ending one. It's like starting out as an executive, you know, and this is why there's so much responsibility and challenges with perfecting this craft, because you start out at the top, you get your wish, but you know, yep. Now that comes with responsibility too.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, to George's point, I think one of the great things about trading is it's a career, but you shouldn't really be spending too much time. I don't know very many traders that trade bell to bell. In fact, you know, I try to get out of there by 11 most days, like 2 hours.
And what happens when you break that rule?
Let me tell you, I did that today. I'm still pretty frustrated about, not frustrated, but I'm disappointed with myself about it because I know better. And basically what happens is I have the rules in place and oftentimes, you know, here and there, the market will let me get away with it. But I'd say 9 times out of 10, I get punished for breaking my rules. And today is one of those days where I didn't get punished. I ended relatively flat, but I was up had I followed my rules. All right. And so I didn't follow them. I traded later than I wanted to. I got excited by some movement because we haven't been seeing much. And yeah, rules got broken. And it's part of the job, right? And the reality is, like Georgie said, you start as an executive. So if you're coming from a background where you're an employee, you might have the employee mindset, right? So you would not really hold yourself accountable for breaking these rules. But as an executive, guess what? You got to stare at the mirror and you got to, you know, identify that you made a mistake and you got to fix that. And you got to be accountable enough to do that. So that kind of leads us nicely into really the first tip. And that tip is to set according expectations, right? I don't want to use the word realistic, but you want to set expectations and understand that the goal at the beginning is not money, it's process. And you know, Georgie's got, I know on his screen, he's got that little note, the P, P over P, or P is yeah. Greater than P.
Process greater than profit.
Simple process formula. Is greater than profit.
That's in my home office. I've literally been putting this off. I'm going to do it after this podcast. I just got to cut a sticky out and throw it on the screen to replicate it. But yeah, I live by those words.
Yeah. And so, you know, that To me, I should probably do the same because I would have followed my rules today. But sometimes you need those reminders why you have those rules in place, and you know, breaking them is a good reminder, especially if you're getting hurt. So I'm fortunate, I'm grateful for having done what I did, but I'm also grateful that you know, today I didn't do damage. Right. And so going to set your expectations again, you know, we talk about expectations a lot in this podcast. You know, a lot of the decisions that you make, especially in the moment, will be based off of your expectations. So if you're having a frustrating time with your trading experience, or you're starting off and you want to put yourself in the right lane, make sure those expectations are set accordingly so that your decisions will reflect, you know, those expectations. Speaking on those expectations, you know, to set your expectations right, understand that with a small account, you're not trying to flip this thing. You're not trying to replace your income with it. You are just trying to get the process. All right. You're just trying to get the process in place. So you're not going to flip, you know, a couple $100, $1,000 to six figures in a couple of months. Sure, you might actually do that, but if that's your goal off the get-go, it's not going to happen. And we got an example from, you know, one of the members in our community started off with, I think, just under $1,000, drew it down to a couple hundred, and then from there turned that into a six-figure account. And that wasn't done with the expectation that they're going to make six figures. What was the time? It was like 18 months?
18 months, yeah.
18 months around there, right? So if you set those expectations at the start that 18 months down the road, I'm going to have a six-figure account, you know, fast forward 6 months down the line, if you're nowhere near that, you're going to be disappointed, even if you're making the right moves, right? If you're following the plan, you're following the process, you're consistently making, you know, $25-$100 a day, it might not be that six figures you're looking for, but you are on the right path.
Love it, Marky. And, you know, I have nothing to add. I'm going to just shoot the tip number two. Tip number two, once again, we have a list. We don't disappoint, ladies and gentlemen. We are creatures of habit, just like you. We are mere mortals. Tip number two, risk management is always important, but even more so with a small account. The margin for error is smaller. And, you know, this is just, it goes without saying, you know, risk, the reason you have a small account is because you're new, right? In this business, you can very quickly grow an account, but by the time you get to the point where you're quickly growing it, you've had to manage a lot of risk. It isn't about making a lot of money. It's about not blowing out. Because making a $1,000 account into $100,000, believe me, as satisfying as it sounds, you know, we've had traders coming into our program exactly with that same situation. They'll come in and they say flat out, hey, you know what? I got lucky and I know it. And right now I want to learn how to actually do this properly. So all the money in the world that you're thinking about, if you got it, it doesn't feel good if you don't feel like you earned it. And how does that happen? If you fluke, if you ignore risk, you know that if you continue to do what you're doing, despite the fact that it's worked now, it's going to blow out in the future. All right. So this is why at the beginning, it's important when you start your career to start with a focus on risk, because this whole job is risk management. All right. Amateurs anticipate returns. Professionals manage risk. And this is a quotable by the late, great George Papasoff. It's tip number two for you, you know, and if you start really with the focus on risk, I promise you, despite the fact that you won't be earning as much as you think you deserve to, and hey, look at tip number one, set your expectation, right? If you start with tip number one, focus on the process. Tip number two, spend your energy learning how to manage risk. You're going to give yourself the opportunity to make more money and not have it feel like a fluke, right? You're going to see the matrix, if you will. You're going to take the right pill. Was it the red or the blue one? Which one did Neo take?
It's a good, I think the red pill.
Sounds like red, right? Because the truth is just dirty and red, bloody. And
I don't know. It sounds like I'm going to have a Matrix trilogy marathon night for the rest of the week. I'll get back to you for the next episode.
I know what you're doing all week now. And there goes Marky's weekend. That's tip number two. That's right.
That's tip number two. Yeah, a couple things there. You know, first, we're going to remove what Georgie said about the late. We'll keep the great, unless there's something I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't go.
Oh, crap. Is that what it means when you say late?
Yeah, late, great.
It means you're out of here. Uh-oh. No longer here, I got really good medical news. So that's, sorry, haters out there, but it ain't happening today.
So we'll replace the late. We'll just cancel that and just call it the great Papazov.
This is what happens when I try to big myself up. I butcher it. I'm not a big ego person.
It's the great Philosophov. That's what we
I'm like. Just average. The average Zov.
The average Zov. That's what we like to call him in the office here. And the other point here to make is with regards to risk management. All right. And risk management is super important. You know, I'd argue it's probably even more important than your entries and exits. You really, it's going to go on a bit of a tangent, but you can really close your eyes, you know, put in a trade. And if you can manage it, your entries and exits, if you can manage your risk accordingly, it doesn't really matter where you enter or where you exit. It's how you manage that risk. I'm not telling you guys to close your eyes, get in and see what happens. But what I am saying is that risk management is that important. All right. It's that important. A lot of people early on, they stress the importance of getting that perfect entry and getting that perfect exit. In the grand scheme of things, those are a small piece of the pie. You know, the larger core chunk of trading, of doing it profitably is managing that risk. And so it becomes increasingly important with a small account, right? Because with a small account, your margin for error is smaller. All right. Yep. So oftentimes what will happen, and I guess you have these opportunities with shares. It's a little bit different. But with futures, before the introduction of the micro mini contracts, you really only had the option to trade the minis, right? And so the minis with the smaller account were a little bit tougher to trade because, you know, you'd maybe give yourself one or two trades max before you hit that daily loss limit. But now with the micros, you know, even with $1,000 in the account, you're risking 1%. You know, you can give yourself two or three trade opportunities before you hit that 1%, right? And so I think it's important that you don't want to be in a market or trading a certain asset where you only give yourself one opportunity, because that's gonna take away from your experience. It's gonna take away from, you know, being able to qualify, disqualify things, being able to get into trades, managing them. If you're giving yourself one shot, it's a little bit tight. Right. So risk management is very important in that aspect. Like I said, because with a smaller account, the margin for error is smaller. So you want to be a little bit more pickier with what you choose. But at the same time, you don't really want to look for perfection. All right. Because oftentimes the perfect setup is the one that
fails.
Yeah.
Miserably. If it looks so good that, you know, you just have to, just don't.
Exactly. And exactly.
Tip number three. Marky, are we moving on? You ready?
Yeah.
Avoid setting daily profit targets. Instead, focus on how much you're willing to risk a day and stay disciplined. So remember, we said the focus was risk management at the beginning. Well, here it is. So you're going to have a drawdown amount that you're going to set for the day. Let's say if you have a $5,000 account, you really shouldn't be drawing down more than $50 a day. I know it sounds crazy, but remember, that's lost capital. You could take a $200 trade, but you can only lose $50 of it. So you know, set a daily loss limit so you don't get out of control with your losers. You don't get emotional and stick to it. You want to build a good habit. The worst thing you could do is set a limit of how much you're going to lose and then you exceed it and you keep going and blow out your whole account. Because not only did you lose the money, you lost discipline to yourself. You lost confidence in yourself and you lost the trust of your subconscious mind. And you can't do that too many times before it takes over. So, you know, you got to set a daily loss limit, stick to it. And the reason you don't want to set a daily profit target limit is because that's really based on what the market's going to give you. I mean, I have something I sort of look for, but once I hit it, I don't stop. I'd say, okay, I acknowledge I've made an amount of money that is good for me, you know, and think hard more on the risk. Is it worth risking for a little bit more or not? But I don't have a hard profit target goal because this is a variable income business. And the reality is, you know, we've talked about this at great length. I'm not going to go on the spiel again, but the reality is that it's not about what you want. It's what the market gives you. And you're going to get out of the market only what the opportunity is. And you're never going to get the full opportunity. You know, today it'll serve you 10 points. You might get 4. Tomorrow it'll serve you 50. And you might still only get 4. Or you might get 30 of them, 40 of them. It's unrealistic to expect to look at your chart from high to low and be like, if I bought it here and sold it here. If, you know, ifs and buts were peanuts and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Is that how it goes? So I think I butchered it.
Whatever. Sounds right. It rhymes. You're on the good path. You're on the right path. If it rhymes, you're on the right path.
There you go. And so it's a variable income business. And you remember that. If you want consistent income, this is not the business for you. The job that you're at, despite how much you dislike it, may just be the best option because it's consistent income. if you value it that much. If you value consistent income so much, you have two options: change what you value or stay and realize that, you know, the other negatives come with the big benefit that's important to you of consistent income. Trading is a variable income business. The days that move well, you got to do well, because the days that move slow in the summer will have lower profitability. And so, you know, this is all the tip was, is to forget about the daily profit target. If you're managing risk, you're going to see how much you could make, but definitely have a downside drawdown for every single session. And please, when you hit it, just stop. Call your broker and put a limit on. Say, hey, maximum loss I want to take is 5% of my account any given day. Prevent me from trading after 5% drawdown, right? Some brokers can, some brokers won't. I have that in my account for 10%, just in case something horrific goes wrong. And it has.
You don't get a name like Oops Trader by accident.
Yeah. And,
or do you?
And you don't have a 5% drawdown limit on your account without getting in some kind of accident. So here I am. Yeah. I've been through this. That's tip number three for you.
Exactly. And, you know, I think Georgie covered it really well. When I introduced it yesterday, it was a bit of, I was curious to see what George's opinion of it was. And, you know, fortunately for us, he agreed. But I think it's important to stress not to have that daily profit target, at least when you're starting. You know, I don't want to say that you should have a specific profit target, because like Georgie mentioned, there's going to be conditions where the market is ripe for opportunity. There's going to be conditions where the market is not really offering that much opportunity, right? And so if you're used to making, you know, $1,000 a day on when the market's relatively volatile, when it slows down, you know, if you're going to be trying to make that same $1,000 a day, guess what? You're probably going to have to be risking more because there's not as much movement, right? And if you revert back to the first two, right? Expectations and risk management, yeah. Right? So I think it's very important to, instead of focusing on how much I'm trying to aim for today, you have that focus on your max daily loss limit. And how much you go for, you can make it a rule of thumb, you know, 1 to 1.5 times what I'm willing to risk.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not actively aiming to make, you know, let's say you're willing to risk $500 on a day, you know, you're not willing to, you're not going for $500 profit. But as a rule of thumb, you know, if you're following your process, if you're managing risk and you're at $500 on the session, then, you know, that's a pretty good day. But you're not sat there at the beginning of a session saying, I got to make $500 today.
Absolutely. And I got something to add on to that. Just because you don't have a profit target doesn't mean you shouldn't have rules as to when to stop.
Yeah.
Right. Those are two really big things. You know, so let's say you don't have a profit target. So when do I stop? Only when I hit my loss. How will I ever win? Here's how you win. Practice on keeping your gains. We have a whole episode on how to, you know, hang on to your winners, how to run your profits, etc. When you stop is when you're depleted your mental capital, when you're exhausted. And again, we have an episode on this as well that you could re-listen to in the past. I don't know what number, because we're getting to some crazy high numbers here. Yep. In our podcasting career. So yeah, just because you don't have a profit target doesn't mean you shouldn't stop. And it's more important to have rules on when you're going to stop for the session. You know, whether it's time amount, 2 hours and I'm done, or mental capital, whichever you hit first. All right, it's important to have those rules, but it's important to not target a specific number and let the market bring to you whatever it will.
Exactly.
Tip number four, Marky.
Numero cuatro.
You do this one.
Numero cuatro. All right. This is a big one, and especially for small accounts, because if you got a small account, and again, it goes back to your expectations. If you got a small account, you're trying to flip it quickly, you know, you're going to be looking for home runs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Inevitably.
You need home runs.
Yeah, exactly. You need home runs. And there's very, very few times where, or very few strategies that I know of that look for home runs. There are some strategies that have a place with that. But let me tell you from personal experience, you know, one of the first strategies I started was a trend following strategy. And that one was difficult to follow. All right. It was objective, but it was difficult because the system basically went along. It was very similar to what the turtle traders do. If you guys don't know what that's about, Google it. It's a pretty interesting backstory. And so what they were doing was basically buying I think it was 20 or 22 day highs in the market, and same thing for 55 day highs, and then shorting new breakouts of 21 and 55 day lows. All right. And so the whole point of this strategy was you're following trends. The issue with it, not really the issue, but the difficult part of trading that, you know, as a human is emotions, right? Because you're taking, if you're taking every single breakout, you know, in these days, majority of breakouts fail, right? So you're going to be right a seldom amount of the time, but those times that you are right, those trades are your grand slam trades. So you're relying on those home run trades in order to get you in profit. The issue being you got to take every single one. All right. And imagine, you know, this was my experience when I was trading it. I think on the year I was trading it, I was down like 30% or something like that. And the reason being is because I was getting frustrated. I didn't follow the rules. It was soybeans. I know the market. Soybeans, I had traded it probably six or seven times over a couple of months based on the signals that it was giving you. And each one of those breakouts was a loss on that account. And so I was like, you know what? Screw soy. I'm going to go to another market. And the sole reason that I ended that year down was because I switched out of soy.
Oh no, right? It rebounded. Was it soy futures or CFDs?
CFDs.
Okay.
It was CFDs. So soy went on a rip, like a tear. And had I stayed in soy, that one trade that I left because I was frustrated with all those other false breakouts, had I stayed in there, that would have been the trade that made me profitable for the year. Right? That would have I would have probably been up, I don't know, like 50 or 60% net of all the losses. So it was a huge home run, but you got to understand that psychologically, you know, as humans, it's very difficult to follow that kind of strategy. And that's why majority of trend following strategies are systematic. They're objective, rules based. And, you know, most people have computers run them, because as humans, it's very difficult to keep taking, you know, keep following the signals in your strategy when you're just taking losses left, right, and center.
And Mark hasn't enjoyed a soy beverage since.
No.
Does that have soy in it?
I hope not, or else it's getting launched. So that was a long way to tell you guys that when you're starting off with a small account, don't look for those home run trades, all right? You're going to be looking for singles and doubles. And in doing so, you will hit the inevitable home run, the inevitable grand slam. But you got to get to first and second base first.
Yep, but that's not what you're going for. You're trying to hit a single base, but in the process, you get a better than good and you get a home run. I wonder how many athletes know like when they're going to score. Like I know that they, you know, if you're an athlete and you're playing professionally, you know that every single shot you're taking has to be a high probability opportunity. You're not just shooting for the sake of it, because you're being watched, right? That's how you got to the professional level. You know when to take your probability shots. I wonder how many of them know on the shot if it's going to be a goal or not.
I can tell you from experience, when I was playing soccer on free kicks, as soon as you make contact with the ball, you know.
You feel it, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know. Like the, yeah.
But here's the thing. But before you make contact with the goal, you have no idea. So that's the thing with a trade too. It's like once you get into it, you're going to know it's a home run or not once you make contact with the trade. But it isn't because of what you did. It's just because the market's going to serve you that opportunity. I think that's how it differs.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just thought of something there. Tip number five. So let's just go through them really quick. Number one, set your expectations. Number two, risk management. Number three, avoid profit targets, but do have a downside loss for the day. Number four, look for singles and doubles instead of home runs. And number five, progress.
Can I just say one more thing about four?
I'm sorry. I got really excited. But
it's an exciting episode.
No, nothing like a list to get me riled up.
Nothing like a list, right? We love them here. So on the topic of singles and doubles, I think for newer traders, especially with that small account, you're going to get a lot more confidence by getting paid. All right. And so, So getting paid, and the reason I thought of this is, you know, while I was taking a second to breathe while you were speaking, I was reflecting on my day today and, you know, I was trying to go for the extended runners.
I did too. I gave up a 30-point profit to finish up 1.25 points.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
So
after this episode, come over here and slap me. I give you permission.
Not as dumb. A bit dumber than what I did. if we're gonna be honest. Jeez,
why is this a race to the bottom today?
I don't know. A bit. I didn't give up 30 points. I did give up a couple, but not that many.
Join us at Trade Pro Academy.
Join us.
And now.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so it was a reflection on my day today. You know, had I just gotten paid where I should have been getting paid and not looking for those runners, my day would have ended a lot greener, if that makes sense.
More green, I think, is
more green.
Sorry, yeah. The grammar police. Wee-hoo,
the grammar police are in full force. But yeah, so that's basically the message here is singles and doubles is what's going to help you build up the account. It's going to help you build up the confidence. You know, $25 doesn't sound like a lot. That's a single. All right. $50, that could be a double. Now, whatever it is, you're not looking for home runs. Stack up those small gains. You'll see how quickly that account starts to grow. And that really leads us to the next one.
Wait, nah, I got one more thing.
Ooh.
This is very quick. Think about it this way. If you're wondering, if you're still confused as to why you should get smaller profit at the beginning, you're looking for what? A 10, 50 point move, $30 move in stocks, whatever you're looking for, right? The person that makes a $4 move makes it first and makes it every time you make 30. The times where it goes to $28 and you're waiting for 30, the person still got paid four. So the important thing here is that if whatever number you're looking for, somebody who's looking for less is going to get paid every single time that you do and most of the times that you don't. And that's why it's important that at the beginning, get paid small because it's more likely and you're getting paid to learn. It's like an education that pays for itself. This is why you want to go for singles. Because once you start getting on base, number one, you're getting on base and getting points. Number two, you're swinging and you're getting a feel for how to swing. And eventually, you'll know when to crack that home run, right? So I think I just want to bring that up. Is that remember this, if you're looking for 30, somebody that's looking for 29 will get it every time, even when you don't. But somebody's looking for 28, somebody's looking for 4 will get it anytime somebody else doesn't. So just keep that in mind because that's the reason we have brackets in our trading is because you want to get paid.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that kind of segues us nicely here into the next, tip
number five.
I was going to say trick, but it's a tip. Tip number five, all right, is to progressively scale up your position size as you build up the account. All right. And so we actually have a handy dandy risk management grid available in our futures course.
Yep.
Very similar to what you would get in a prop firm. Very, very similar to, you know, the scaling plans you'd get in prop firms. So not only do you get risk management, you also get the scaling, which is, I'd argue, it's not as important, but it's definitely huge once you start to get, guess what? Consistent with getting paid. All right. Once you get consistent getting paid, that's when you can start to scale up the position size, right? Because the goal here is not to use your hard-earned money to add size and to take on increased risk. It's to use the house money, all right?
Yep.
It's to use the
market money is what I call it.
He calls it the market money, exactly.
I love the market money. Yum, yum, yum. It's delicious.
Nom, nom, nom. So use the market money to build up the position size as you start to increase the risk on each individual position. You are effectively using market money. So I think it'd be cool if we go into one quick example with the scaling plan. I don't know if you have it off the top of your head.
I can pull it up.
Do it with like the one lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the question is when do people go from one to a two lot, right? And so when you start out with a one lot, remember, you got to start out with micros. If you're brand new, you can't trade the S&P 500 minis, for example, for futures traders. It's a neat advantage with this new micro product. I don't have the grid in front of me, but it looks something like this. Once you make $2,000 of profit, you add another contract. So if you make $2,000 with the initial one lot, you could add a second contract. And then if you lose 50% of the previous stage gains, so let's say you make $1,000 with one lot, you put on a second contract and you lose $500, you're back down to one lot. So I think it's important that to know that this scaling grid that you get in our futures course is like your career path laid out in front of you.
Yeah.
These are the milestones you got to hit. This is how you get rewarded. When you're at that new level, if you can't handle it, this is when you drop back down for some more conditioning. And this is important. It's like a two-way road. It helps you scale up, but it also helps you scale down in the event that you scale up too fast or you're out of your comfort zone with the goal of protecting your capital by not being able to take bigger positions until you build up more capital. So it's like it's keeping you on the edge of your comfort zone, but also it's keeping you on pace to exceed certain goals before you scale up. And that answers the question, you know, when do I trade bigger? And, you know, that's the grid. It's there for you. It answers all those questions in specifics to scale up to about a 6-lot trader. And at that point, you don't need the grid anymore. You're doing well enough. I mean, 6 lots, if you catch just a 5-point move, right, that's 30 points a day. It's $1,500 US. You know, at that point, you're out earning 90% of the population. It's a good problem to have. Yep. If you're having a hard time scaling from 6 lots higher, great. Good for you. You've done well in this industry. It's a great conversation to have. There's solutions there too, but it's a great conversation.
Exactly. And so leading into the next tip and trick here, starting with a small account.
Yeah.
So number 6 here, the tip and trick number 6 on how to grow a small account. Don't quit your day job. All right. Don't quit your day job. Ideally, you are going to have other sources of income as you're learning to do this. All right. We've had some experiences in the past, and we've had a lot of people reach out to us saying, hey, you know, I really, really hate my job. I can't stand another day with my boss. So we haven't been hearing many of these since COVID started, but when people were still back in the office, you know, oftentimes that's where you're hearing, hey, you know, I hate my job. I don't want to do this anymore. I got a couple grand saved up, you know, 5-10 grand. I want to quit and I want to start trading full time. And, you know, this is before really having any experience. And the issue with this is that you are putting a whole lot of unnecessary stress and pressure on yourself, especially when you're starting out. All right. And so you're, by doing a thing like this, quitting your day job and trying to start trading full time with a small account, you're really putting the odds against you. You know, this is the opposite of the Hunger Games. You know, may the odds forever be in your favor.
The starvation games?
Yeah, seriously. And so you want to make sure you've got some other sources of income as you're doing this. You know, there's a misconception that being a day trader means you've got to be sat in front of the screens from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's a misconception, all right? Especially if you're trading assets that are open, you know, almost 24/5, like futures, like Forex, things like that. You don't really have to be sat at those times. A lot of people find the opportunity to trade either pre-US Open, you know, 7:30 to 9 a.m. before they head into work, or even after hours, all right? The Globex session after 6 p.m. Eastern time, right? So when you're starting off, make sure to give yourself the best chance at actually building an account and, you know, establishing and following a process. Make sure you got some other sources of income coming through. You know, despite what you see on social media, it's not that easy. It's not easy at all. All right. And so the more obstacles you're going to put in front of yourself, the harder it's going to be to achieve. So, you know, honestly, I don't trust people who say, trust me, but trust me on this one. You're going to regret it if you do take it. All right. If you do end up quitting your day job to trade with a small account. So that's really tip number 6. And tip number 7, you know, I breezed on the topic of social media. And I think this one is very, very important just because of where we're at as a society these days. All right. There's an instant glorification of life, basically, on social media. All right. And so one of the things that often happens is people compare themselves. All right. They get encouraged, discouraged, whatever it is, based on what they see on social media. All right. And you really got to avoid comparing yourself to others. Oftentimes, you know, whatever someone posts a nice big day, you know, made 10 grand today. What does that tell me? Well, someone that's been around long enough, if they're constantly posting screenshots of big days, that tells me they probably don't see them too often. And the other thing as well to understand is that you don't know the full story. All right. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. You know, the person that is posting that 10 grand day, they probably had a lot of days where they're making $100 a day.
Yep.
And you know, that was them 5-10 years ago. And it's what's that saying? Overnight success, 10 years in the making.
Exactly.
Right. You don't know what that person had to go through. You don't know that journey to get those profits. So to compare your chapter 1 to somebody else's chapter 20, it just really serves no point. And what we often see happen as a result of comparing to others is, especially when you're starting off with a small account, you know, maybe you make $25 on the day. You go on Instagram, you sign in. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance you have a smartphone. You know, you sign into Instagram, you see that big post with that big amount. You say, you know what? This person made 10K. I only made $25. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make a little bit more. You know, I need to catch up. Guess what? You got to stay in your own lane is what you got to do. And the reason for that is if you're comparing to other people, you know, what does that do for your process, right? There's nothing in comparing to other people that should affect your process, right? Your process is your process. And the best way to not really get encouraged or discouraged by, you know, what other people are posting is to not look, right? I know it sounds pretty funny, but I can give you an example of myself. I think it was last year around the initial COVID lockdown. You know, the team here was doing pretty good. I was in a bit of a rut, and, you know, seeing them doing good, seeing them in the chat room, even seeing stuff on social media was kind of like, I was looking at it, I was getting discouraged because I know what I should be doing. You know, I've got the skills to do what I know I can do. And I wasn't, and that was getting to me, and it was compounded by the fact I was seeing other people succeeding, you know, having good green days while I was struggling. And so my answer to that was delete. It was, yeah, a social media detox, you know. Delete. I don't use social media personally that much. You know, so I got rid of Facebook, I got rid of Insta, I got rid of Twitter, I got rid of all that stuff, and probably for about a month and a half. And that allowed me to focus on what I had to focus on to get back to what I know I can do. And that's kind of the advice I got for you. You know, if you have difficulties not comparing yourself to others, just get rid of that. And what you can do as well is, I think Georgie, in the first iteration of this of this episode, you know, Georgie mentioned something, and we're on the same wavelength, so I'm going to let him bring it up here.
I like it. Yeah, I mentioned to follow accounts that inspire you. That's what you're talking about, right, Mark?
Yep.
Follow accounts that inspire you and help build you up, right? And if you're really doing these big profit numbers, and I'm not doubting people are. I mean, it's been a very opportunistic market. But like, if you're doing these really big numbers and you've been doing it for a long time, you're not surprised by it. People who are surprised by these big gains, that's why they post. The more like outlandish the story is, the more, you know, Ferrari, the more Gucci, the more whatever there is in the post, the more surprised that person is themselves. And you don't want to be following accounts that are surprised, because they're probably trading as long as you. So what you want to do is be around people who have been in the business long enough that they're not really surprised or even excited anymore by trading. That's a great place to be to learn from somebody. It's not really exciting. Oh my God, look what happened. Yeah, I've seen that before, that kind of thing. And those accounts are people who are going to help build you up. They're going to help support you. They're not going to post that big win. They're going to post what they did to get to that win. Where do you think there's more value in that, right? So follow accounts to help build you up that aren't just P&L sharing, but they're telling you, you know, here's a trade and here's how come I took it. Here's what I learned. Here's what you should learn. This is kind of like it was in 2009. They're trying to teach you something in the context of what they're doing rather than just flashing these numbers. Some of the best traders I know will never talk P&L. I know a lot of them, and I don't know how much they make. I know they make a lot because of the lifestyle they live, but I have no clue how much they make. And I don't really care to know that. What I do care to know is, you know, what's challenging for you? Like, hey, how's the last few months been? How have you adjusted? That's the information you want to find. It's hard to find that info on socials because it's gold.
Yeah.
That's why it's so hard to find. I'll give you a name out there that you could follow: Instagram, Trade Pro Academy, Twitter, Trade Pro Academy. I know we do it really well, and I'm not afraid to shout out other people. All right, Edge Trading Group, Anthony Drager is another guy who does extremely well and happens to share his gift. Go check him out too. You know, like it's those are the people that have been around the industry for a long time. Last thing I want to mention on social media, the first take of this that didn't work out was too long. I blabbed for too long. I'll give it to you in a short analogy because I love analogies. When you watch a movie, right, it's very attractive to you. But if you hit pause to that movie, no matter how good it is, if you were able to walk backwards and expand the view, you would see the director, You would see the lighting. You would see the camera crew, everyone operating the mic. It loses its appeal. Have you ever seen behind the scenes footage where like the shot that's on TV doesn't look anything like behind the scenes? Like there's a green screen and somebody's trying to act angry, but because you can't see the background, it doesn't really add to it. You're like,
yeah,
this looks cheesy.
It's I've had that really anytime it's like, what's the CGI? Like,
yeah.
I remember watching Sparta, the behind the scenes where yeah. it was just Gerard Butler, five other shirtless dudes, and just a big green space. And well, I was like, this was all created from that.
Yeah, and that's not a room you'd want to be in. Five shirtless guys, like, oh, yeah. what choices? I mean, some of you might, hey, whatever, right? But and you look at it, it's just a green screen, but the visuals, the audio, and post production, that's what make it a movie.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what you got to realize. Instagram's a curated moment. It's a movie. All right. Socials, it's all curated moments. People are putting their best moments in their life, and you expect them to live that way every single moment. And worse yet, you expect that of yourself. So remember, when you're watching socials, you're watching a movie. You can't learn from socials. The best thing you can do is connect with people who you want to learn with and from, whose community you want to join. That's the power of the tool. When used correctly, it's the most powerful tool ever. Unfortunately, we're judging ourselves and, you know, expecting too much of ourselves on a false premise. You know, it's a movie. Your life will never be that way. No matter how much romantic of a moment you had when you met your fiance, there wasn't a random violinist playing over your head, the things you hear, the soundtracks yeah. in the movie. It's all just glorified. You know, like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. You're going to laugh at me, Mark. You're going to see this next week. I purchased a ZTE flip phone. Right. Last night I was sitting on the couch. I had a tinfoil hat moment and I just bought a flip phone. I'm like, I had enough. I'm kind of where you're at, and I'm going to still put out great content for you guys. But when it comes to social media, you know, create, don't consume. If you want to be great, you got to create. And so I'll put that out there for you. You want to do the same challenge as before?
Yeah.
In round one, you share it and I'll,
I don't remember exactly what the challenge.
The challenge was, you guys start your own YouTube channel.
Yes.
If you're listening. Yeah. And share some of your analysis. Don't just P&L share. Say, hey, this is how my day went. Look at ours. Look at our midday recaps on YouTube. And share with other members that you, when you start the YouTube channel, upload your trades and what you learned from them. Try to help others. Start creating with what you're doing in trading. You don't have to just be a consumer. Create. And write in your channel info to us at podcast@tradeproacademy.com. And I will shout you guys out live on our next YouTube Live for people to follow you, to give you, to infuse your mission of sharing and helping and creating others, right? Be the change you want to see. And that's what I want to tell you. Ditch the socials, put out your own content, and aim to help others, not to just, you know, flaunt on them. Or, you know, what's the term these days kids use?
Flex.
Flex on them? Stun on them? I don't know.
That's when we were...
I'm old, bro.
So when we were coming up, I'm sure it's changed now.
For sure. There's a new word every week now.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think those are all the tips.
Yep. Those are all the tips and the tricks. And so we appreciate you guys. Thank you for taking the time to listen. As usual, you know, we are doing the shout out, the review shout out. So if you guys want to have a shout out, please feel free to jump on iTunes, drop a rating and a review if you're enjoying these episodes. And until next time, guys, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.